This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Today, we're going to start with retired Marine General Richard Neal. He grew up in Hull, Massachusetts, graduated from Northeastern University, and served multiple tours in Vietnam. His distinguished service took him to commands at nearly every level, battery, battalion, and division, and then to U.S. Central Command, serving under General Norman Schwarzkopf in the early 1990s during the Persian Gulf War. Neal briefed the press daily on coalition progress. He was the military's public face during that war. In 1996, General Neal became Assistant Commandant of the Marine Corps. He retired in 1998. And he tells the story of lessons learned in his 30-plus years of service in his new book, What Now, Lieutenant? Leadership Forged from Events in Vietnam, Desert Storm, and Beyond. And he joins us today from Hull. General Neal, welcome to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I look forward to speaking with you.
It's a pleasure to have you. I just want to start with a really basic question. The title of your book, What Now, Lieutenant? I mean, you describe these as very specific moments in your life. So what is a What Now, Lieutenant moment?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people think it's a little bit strange for someone that made 4 stars talking about What Now, Lieutenant. But we all begin someplace, and that's where I began as a lieutenant a long time ago. It was a phrase that newly commissioned officers encountered when they underwent the 6 months training program at Quantico, Virginia after graduation from college. However, we entered either going through officers' candidate school or through the platoon leaders class. And once we got our degree, we raised our right hand and took the oath of office. And once we did that, the next step in the Marine Corps' pipeline was to send us down to Quantico. And the instructors down there, we were newly commissioned lieutenants, of course. We were probably about as useless as anything, but they took their great patience. They put us into different scenarios where they would create crisis. Now, the crisis might be social. It may be one of your young Marines got into trouble out in the town, mm-hmm. drinking or DUI, or maybe it's a home problem where the wife has been sick and so he's forced to be late. And so those types of events. And then, of course, the worst case, but probably the one that was probably most prevalent in our minds during 1965 for me, was what would you do in combat? And
right.
So they would present you with different events, and then it would be up to you as to what now, Lieutenant? What are you going to do? What's right. your action? And so that's kind of the basis for the title of the book, and then, of course, I went into some detail talking about a particular battle I was involved in.
Well, yeah, I mean, you call this battle the battle for Hill 70 in Vietnam one of, if not the most important moment of your life. So can you tell us the story of what happened?
Yeah, it was an amazing event. I was the forward observer attached to the company, so I wasn't part of the company. I was attached to the company for a duration, usually in 6 to 8 months length. And basically, I would provide fire support from an artillery outfit that I was that I belonged to. And so I would travel with the infantry out on operations, and then if the need arose, I would call in fire support to support the maneuvering forces. On this particular case, we're out on an operation for about 3 days, and we split up the company. And although the company commander was not really supportive of this move, and he actually raised his lack of support with his senior officer, the colonel, but he was told to carry out his orders, which he did. And we split up into three groups, and I was sent with the first platoon because there was a good high likelihood that that platoon, if anyone was going to get into trouble, it would be that platoon, and mm-hmm. so I would be able to respond with fire support. We had moved out for perhaps maybe not even 30 minutes when we heard mortars being fired, and they were enemy mortars, and immediately the company commander came up on the net and said to the platoon commander, John Prickett, "Hey, John, turn around." Well, we actually called him, and he said, "No, just hold up for a minute." And then a few seconds later, he said, "No, we're in trouble. Get back here and tell Butch to provide fire support to these coordinates." And he read them off to me. And, of course, as soon as I saw him, both John and I said, that's your position. And the company commander came back and said, yes, they're in the wire, yeah, so to speak.
So, General, I'm so sorry to interrupt here. Mm-hmm. So forgive me for doing that. I'm just a little, I'm conscientious of the time. And forgive me again for interrupting.
No problem.
I mean, you write about the fight for Hill 70 in detail in the book. And I mean, one of the main points that you make is many good men that you knew that day gave up their lives in order to see the battle through to its end. Mm-hmm. Medal of Honor winners, in fact.
Yes.
I'm just wondering how it changed you that day.
That's a good question. I think it changed me in several ways. Not changed me, it probably just made a realization, number one, I had to take command of first the platoon, and then I had to take command of the company because the company commander was killed and the platoon commander was seriously wounded. So I had to jump into a role. It was my what now, lieutenant moment that I talked about a few seconds ago. And what came across so much is we were in the middle of the firefight, and all of a sudden I was treating the platoon commander who was seriously shot, and I looked up and everybody was sort of looking at me, and so they were looking for me for leadership, and obviously I started to maneuver them and got them moving in the right direction, and we carried the day, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I guess what really impacted me the most was the trust that those young men had in me and in my ability to lead them, and then my understanding that I was able to do that when that moment did show up, and I had to do it. I would correct one thing you say. We weren't really fighting for Hill 70. We were going back to Hill 70 to try and rescue those that were being overrun.
I see. I see. My apologies.
It's not apologies. It's really it's an important ingredient.
Well, yeah, I agree. And we try to get it right. So I appreciate your correction here. But in terms of sort of the what now, Lieutenant moment, I mean, if we fast forward a couple of decades, you find yourself at U.S. Central Command for the Persian Gulf War, becoming the public face of military operations for that war by doing the media briefings every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I did chuckle a little when I read the part of your book where you described that, you know, you were in standing before television cameras and reporters. It was a sometimes hostile audience.
Hostile might be too strong a term. Challenging, I guess I would say.
Well, hostile is your word from the book, sir. but if I may, I just want to ask you, I mean, like, I was actually kind of surprised because here you are, a Marine general, and in the book you described that, like, at the first briefing that you did, you were pretty nervous.
I was. I guess I would go back to the hostile term. You really never knew what the questions were going to be, and a difficult thing for someone that's in a position like I was at that time, I was a one-star, brand-new one-star, and was getting up there in front of all of those cameras, which I was not used to, and then, you know, the what now, Lieutenant moment of they ask me a question I don't know the answer to. And so do I wing it and try to give them something, or do I say, geez, I don't know, but I'll get back to you? I opted for the latter. I don't know the answer to that question. And that's difficult for you. You know, you feel like you're supposed to be the smartest guy in the room, but all of a sudden you're challenged by a question that you don't know the answer to. But legitimately, or I guess for some reason, I had enough forethought and malice to think about saying, I don't know the answer, but the key ingredient was, I'll get back to you with the answer. And, mm-hmm. and we just saw that the other day with General Dumford when he was asked about what transpired in Niger.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is, the most senior of military officers on active duty, and, you know, as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he was asked a question, you know, a very solid question, a legitimate question, but he didn't know the answer. And to his credit, he said, geez, I don't know, but let me get back to you on that.
Yeah. So, you know, your book, General, is full of such rich detail and so many amazing stories that I'm really feeling terrible that we're running down on time here. But I'm hoping someday we'll get a chance to talk again, because I'd love to hear more of the stories of your career. But my last question for you, since we are running out of time, is that we, you know, here we are speaking today, which also happens to be the anniversary of the creation of the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder, you know, looking back, what has your service meant to you?
Fulfilling. Job satisfaction, if there's such a thing. Being a Marine, we didn't consider it a job, but, you know, a profession. And it was fulfilling because, you know, I was given the golden opportunity to work with some of the finest young men and women that our country produces. And being with them and being around them each and every day really was the motivation for me to stay in. When I graduated from Northeastern and went in, I had no intentions of staying beyond probably the 3 years of my enlistment. But once I got there, and even in that terrific battle that I was involved in as a brand-new lieutenant, even in spite of that, it was just being with these young men and women and having the opportunity to help them, mentor them, to develop them, and to hopefully protect them was something that was so fulfilling that it was an easy decision, and fortunately my wife agreed.
Yeah. Well, General Richard Neal is a retired 4-star Marine Corps general. He's the author of the new memoir, What Now, Lieutenant? Leadership Forged from Events in Vietnam, Desert Storm, and Beyond. Speaking with us today from his hometown of Hull. General Neal, thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. All the best.
All the best to you as well. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.